This morning I'd like to turn your attention to Exodus chapter 20 and verses 1 through 17 as we look at the 10th of the Ten Commandments. We've been studying these Ten Commandments over the past several months. And this is the 10th month, October. And so now we are on the 10th commandment. And this morning we'd like to finish up the series as we think about God's commandment, "Thou shalt not covet." And so let's read together Exodus chapter 20 and verses 1 through 17. "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." Of course, as we've been studying, we see that God spoke these Ten Commandments directly from heaven to the children of Israel. And they were so terrified of the thunderings and the lightnings and the flashes and God's voice that they asked Moses to be an intercessory for them and to go up and to receive the rest of God's commandments and God's law for them. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 3, and also in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 4, we see that these specific commandments are referred to as the Ten Commandments, and they are the basis for the rest of the Mosaic Law. They form a nucleus of God's desires for men to live a moral and godly life. And God wanted to impress upon Israel the seriousness of these words. And so he did so here while they were standing at the foot of Mount Sinai. And these commandments are introduced with God saying, "I am the Lord your God." Well, these verses giving us the Ten Commandments can be summed up in the two commandments which Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39, where he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Today, the Ten Commandments are politicized within our world. In fact, I read in the news again about the Ten Commandments just this past week that the state of Oklahoma was sued by someone to remove the Ten Commandments monument that they had placed on public grounds, and they now are going to change a state law as a result of losing that lawsuit. And so the Ten Commandments are in the news today and people hear about them frequently, and so that's why we've been studying them and looking at them. The tenth commandment that we look at this morning is, "Thou shalt not covet." Covetousness. Well, that's a really difficult one to talk about because, you know, we all desire things and we all want things. And the Bible is very clear. God is very clear here. "Thou shalt not covet." And then he has a list of things that we're not supposed to covet here. Well, covetousness manifests itself in many different ways in our society today. And in a lot of ways, our society encourages covetousness. In fact, a lot of the laws that we have written are in favor of covetous people, people who desire to get other people's possessions and other people's money through legal means by doing shady and immoral things. And it's very difficult to stand up against some of that because the way our society has written the laws to favor people who want to get money out of other people. Well, I think one of the best measurements of covetousness is the number of lawsuits that we have in this country. Here's an interesting statistic. 80% of all the world's lawyers live in the United States. How about that? 80%. In 2010, the U.S. spent, now listen to this number, the United States, that's just the United States, okay? That's not all the local and state governments. The United States spent $251 billion on lawsuits. Twice as much as we spend on new cars. Now think about that for a minute. And all the lawsuits that are happening out there, many of which are designed to separate people from their possessions and from their money. Now, what's interesting is that of that $251 billion a year, only 15% of that number went to the actual plaintiff who was engaged in the lawsuit. Only 15%. And so there are people making bukus of money off of, in a large part, what is covetousness in our society today. Now, there are some lawsuits that need to be filed. Don't get me wrong and don't misunderstand. But a lot of these lawsuits are frivolous. I read about a lawsuit, a frivolous lawsuit that was given in the state of New York, where a woman bought one of those clappers. Have you ever heard of those? You know, you plug it into your lamp and you clap and then your lamp turns on. They used to have a commercial, clap on, clap off. The clapper is what they called it. And you clapped and that would turn your light on, clapped again, turn your light off. Well, she filed a lawsuit against those people because when she clapped, she hurt her hands. Can you believe that? That was a real lawsuit. People spent real money on that lawsuit. Now, can we say that we live in a covetous society today? Yes, I believe we can. And I believe we need this 10th commandment today, just like the people of Israel needed that 10th commandment. And we'll see as we go through our study this morning that the New Testament forbids covetousness also. So let's look at what covetousness means this morning. Let's look at God's law under the Old Testament, and then let's look at God's law today under the New Testament. And I hope that each one will be able to state what covetousness is and why we should not practice it today. First of all, what is covetousness? Well, the definition, according to the dictionary, is to desire wrongfully, inordinately, or without due regard for the rights of others. Now, of course, one could take that definition and say, well, as long as I am following the law, then I'm not being covetous. Well, I think we all know that that's not necessarily the case, that people can be covetous even when they follow the law. The Hebrew word for covetousness is chamad, and it means inordinate or ungoverned selfish desire. And so when we're talking about covetousness, we're talking about a person's inward desires and what they want. And we are a nation that is built largely upon our desires today. And many of those desires are ungoverned within the lives of the citizens of our country. In the Greek lexicon, the word covetousness is the word epithumeo. And it means to set one's heart upon a thing, to long for it, to covet it, or to desire it. And I think that's an interesting definition, that to set one's heart upon a thing. That's something that God talks about a lot. You know, our heart and our relationship to Him and where our heart is at in relationship to Him. You see, God should be first in our life. That's why we talked about that first commandment. And that's why we talked about those two commandments that Jesus gave us. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Covetousness does neither one of those things. It replaces God with things, and it replaces our neighbor as a desire of our love, which we should love our neighbor. It replaces our neighbor with just someone who's there for us to take advantage of. And so that's why covetousness is something that is sinful. That's why God says this, thou shalt not covet. And in saying that, He gives some specific things about it. Now, this commandment is not speaking about things that are not that are already in one's possession. And so if you already have certain things, it's not speaking about those things. It's speaking about things that belong to other people, that others possess. This commandment isn't even speaking about having a legitimate business transaction where there is a legitimate need and you need to acquire something in order to fulfill your business needs or in order to fulfill certain needs you may have to provide for your family or something like that. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 14, the Bible says, and if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. So there was buying and selling that went on within ancient Israel, and God authorized that and God understood that. And so covetousness isn't necessarily talking about the exchanging of goods in buying and selling things. But notice there's a stipulation there. You shall not oppress one another. That is, go to the extraordinary means to get something from somebody else at his expense or at his loss or something to that degree. And so they were not to oppress one another in buying and selling. Another interesting thing about covetousness is that this is the only commandment that contains a prohibition of attitude. Now think about that for a minute. We are not supposed to overly desire something that belongs to someone else. And that desire comes from within. That desire comes from us. And that is something we are not supposed to do. Envy is actually a very close relative of covetousness. And envy is prohibited by God as well in the New Testament. Now, what does the Old Testament say about covetousness? Well, we'll just look at a few scriptures here that talk about it. This isn't all of the scriptures that we find in the Bible that mention covetousness, but these are some key ones in the Old Testament. First of all, we see that the wicked boast about their covetousness. And isn't that the case? Don't we see people around us today who boast about their really good business deals and transactions and, you know, how great of a money person they are and this, that, and the other? Well, the wicked boast about covetousness. Psalm chapter 10 and verse 3 says, For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, he blesses the greedy or the covetous and renounces the Lord. And so to be covetous is to renounce God. And we don't want to do that. We certainly don't want to boast of a sinful attitude that we may have toward others. Achan was a person who was covetous. You remember as the children of Israel going into the land of Canaan and they destroyed the city of Jericho there. And then God had commanded Joshua. He said, all of the things within the city of Jericho, all the spoils and the possessions and the livestock and all of that, all of those things are devoted for the Lord. And they were to be given to the Lord. And the people of Israel were not to take anything. But Achan, a man in the army of Israel, he saw a couple of things that he desired and he coveted them and he took them. And so covetousness precedes theft. You see, a person has to be covetous of something before they steal it. And if somebody is stealing things, you can know also that he's a covetous person. And in Joshua 7 and verse 21, Achan said this, when I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the midst, or in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. So he coveted them, and then he took them. Covetousness is also associated with a lazy attitude. And those who are slothful or who are lazy oftentimes have a covetous heart. Listen to what Proverbs 21 and verses 25 through 26 says. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. I so appreciated Brother Mike Price's lesson that he gave us last Sunday morning in our Bible class hour when we talked about whether or not we're givers or whether or not we are takers. And we want to be givers. It is more blessed to give than to receive, the Bible tells us. Well, takers are those who are covetous people. They are contrasted with the righteous here who give and do not spare, but rather they are covetous. They are greedy. They want those things that belong to other people. And covetousness then leads to other sins. In Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse 17, Jeremiah says, "Yet your eyes and your heart are for nothing but your covetousness, for shedding innocent blood and practicing oppression and violence." Covetousness will cause us to do so many other wicked things if we let that desire go ungoverned. You see, because then maybe those who are covetous will seek to destroy other people so that they can have their heart's desire, their money or possessions or whatever it is. Those who are covetous will oppress others. Those who are covetous will practice violence toward others in order to have that covetousness, satisfy that covetousness within their life. And you see, covetousness is just like any other sin. It grows. It feeds on itself. And we can never have enough because it will never satisfy us if we keep practicing it. Because as long as we desire that wealth, we'll just desire more and more of it. As long as we desire these possessions, we'll desire more and more of it. And so we need to just cut it off at the root and be content with who we are and what we have. Well, what does the New Testament say about covetousness? Well, Jesus said it's one of those sins that originate within man's heart. In Mark chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23, we read, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." Jesus is telling us a secret about ourselves. He's telling us that our heart desires these things. He's telling us that it's from our own hearts that these things originate. He's telling us something about our lives that we need to watch out and that we need to be aware of our own heart's desires. Covetousness is also a confusion of identity. As Jesus says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. You see, there was a man who came to him and basically this man said, he said, "Master, ask my brother to divide the inheritance with me so that we can have an equal share, more or less." Now, Jesus did not get involved in that situation at all. In fact, this is what he said to that man. He said, "Take heed and keep yourself from covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses." So many people today identify themselves with their possessions and with their money and with the things that they have in their life. And they say, "See what I am. This is who I am. All of this that I have." It's a lie. Jesus said it was a lie. He said covetousness will lead you to believe this lie, that you are what you possess. But he said, no, that's not true. You see, no one of us can be identified with that because each one of us is so much more valuable than just those physical things. And to identify with those physical things is to have a false identity. And then we will put our pride in those things. And our pride will cause us to do all these other things that we've discussed that follow from covetousness. Covetousness, a confusion of identity. Covetousness is a reason for withdrawal of fellowship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul wrote, "But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person." Covetousness is serious business. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5, and Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, covetousness is identified with idolatry. Listen to what Paul writes. He says, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." Those who are covetous and who continue to practice covetousness are not going to inherit the kingdom of God, and they are idolaters. Listen to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. "Therefore put to death your members which are on this earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." We are to put these things to death. They are part of that old man that was left in the watery grave of baptism when we repented of our sins and gave our life to Christ. And they're supposed to stay behind. They're not supposed to continue with us, but sometimes we allow that old man to sneak back in and to take control of our life when we shouldn't do that. Put those things to death. That is, put them away from you. Kill them. Do not allow them even one moment's thought within your life. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. So you see, the New Testament also condemns covetousness. We've looked at this 10th commandment this morning in an effort for us to live godly lives, in an effort for us to be that new man in Christ. Now, Jesus Christ did not have 1 ounce of covetousness within His life. He was free from that sin completely. And so that's how we need to be as well. Of course, if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. But we don't want to participate in those sins. We don't want to be like those people who allow money and possessions to control their life. No, rather, we want to let Jesus Christ lead us. We want to be identified with Him. We want to put on the new man who is renewed after the image of Christ. And in so living that way, we can experience the joy and the peace that God has to offer for us. This morning, what is your desire? Is it for physical things? Is it for carnal things? Is it for the possessions of others, the wealth of others, to build and build and build? Don't be like that rich fool that Jesus talked about in the parable when He said, "Oh, my barns are so full, I'm going to tear them down and I'm going to build bigger barns so that they may be filled as well." Oh, that's covetousness. And that is not what our life is meant for. This morning, do you have a need in your life to repent before God? Maybe you need to repent of the sin of covetousness. Maybe you need to repent of some other sin that you have in your life. And this is the time to do that. And you can make that request known this morning by coming forward and talking about that and letting the congregation know that you desire the prayers of the church for forgiveness of those things. Maybe you're not a Christian this hour and you've allowed all of your passions to govern your life until the point where you realize that you've just got to put them away. And you want to become identified with Christ. You can do that through hearing His word and believing it, repenting of sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, going into that watery grave of baptism, into the likeness of His death and burial and resurrection, and so identifying with Him, putting on Christ, and living that life that Christ lived, taking advantage of the blood that He shed on the cross, so that we can have forgiveness of our sins. If you have a need this morning, we bid you to come while together we stand and sing.